But, you know, how gullible are you? That is basically it's a lie, isn't it? Have a look at John chapter 18. We're going to be looking at John's gospel quite a lot, different verses. John chapter 18, Pilate was talking to Jesus. This is just before Jesus' crucifixion. And the Jews, the Jewish high priest, brought Jesus to Pilate because Pilate was able to give a sentence of execution, which the Jews weren't allowed to do. So verse 33, Pilate entered into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he'd said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no guilt in him." So that question, what is truth, is a very important one. We don't know if Pilate was just being flippant. Probably he was thinking, "Well, I don't think, this is an important thing to be talking about when you're about to get executed. You know, if your kingdom's just about truth, it doesn't amount to much." Was he really asking a serious question he wanted to get to the bottom of? Pilate's question is important, and I believe it's important for us today. What is truth? Some people would say, well, there is such a thing as a real truth. For example, on a Christian website, I read this: "The day we step into eternity may come sooner than we think. In preparation for that moment, we need to know this truth: not everyone is going to heaven." I believe that. Many people in the world would say, "Well, that may be your opinion, but I believe such and such." In other words, you can really believe what you want, and you shouldn't mind if other people believe different things from you. In other words, truth is relative, not absolute. It's flexible. It's not clear cut. Maybe that's how Pilate thought. But I do believe it's important to be tolerant, but either that statement is true or it's not true. Not everyone is going to heaven. Question: do you know that you're going to heaven? Are you born again? You can be. You can know. Jesus wants you to know that you're born again. Jesus wants you to be sure that you're going to heaven. That is the truth. What did Jesus think about the truth? And what did he have to say about it? He had lots to say about the truth. And he really believed that there is a clear-cut truth. Maybe the most striking thing he said was about himself. He said, "I am the truth." Have a look at John 14. So just a few pages before that last one. Verse 6. Jesus, Thomas said to him, first of all, verse 4. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," that's verse 3, "and you know the way I'm coming," verse 4. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let's just think about Jesus' claim that he was the truth, that he is the truth. Okay? He says he's the way and the life also. We're not looking at that today so much as the fact that Jesus said he is the truth. That to our modern ears is an incredible thing to say and not really easy to understand. Let's be honest, in some ways, it sounds hugely arrogant. You know, we think of truth as facts, knowledge of what is real. We might think that there is a person who knows an awful lot and can explain a lot of reality. But Jesus wasn't just saying that. He was saying, I am the truth. You know, we wouldn't say that person is the reality. To understand what Jesus was saying and to see that he is indeed the truth, that he was right and it needed saying, we have to understand how in Jesus' time in the Hebrew culture they understood truth. In the modern world, we think of truth as facts and ideas, statements, beliefs that match the actual state of things. But the Hebrew word for truth, emet, is related to faith, emuna, which is also related to the word we say a lot, amen. It's about reliability and faithfulness. Okay, these are personal characteristics. These are things that a person has. Someone who's not lying, someone who's reliable, who's faithful. These mark the character of God. Jesus was teaching that to get a true understanding of life requires us to be in a relationship with God. And only Jesus made the way so that we could have that good relationship with God. Just what we've just read now. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Just as Steve was sharing that verse in Acts, there is salvation in no one else. Acts 4, it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. By which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. We need to have a good relationship with Jesus on an ongoing basis to understand what is true, what is right, what choices to make, how to live safely in an unstable world. Staying in John, flick to chapter 1. You don't have to flick there, but that's where I'm going. So, John chapter 1, verse 14. Says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus, God's Word. He became a person living amongst us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 17, it says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So it's not just grace, which is God's kindness and favor to sinners, which is a fantastic thing, came through Jesus, but truth too. Going back to what Jesus said to Pilate, don't have to turn back, chapter 18, Jesus said that he came to bear witness of the truth and that all who are of the truth hear his voice. So if we listen to him, we will be guided in the right ways to go and be able to discern good from evil and true from false. We all talk about how we're living in uncertain times. We hear it in the news, on the radio or on television, on the internet, in people's conversation. People's mental health, particularly for many young people, is much weaker and more under attack than in the past. There is a lot of worry about how to live well today and about the future. There's a lot of uncertainty about what people can trust and believe. It's a cause for lots of anxiety, depression. So whose advice should we listen to? It's what Steve was sharing, what we were seeing over, you know. The name of Jesus is stronger. In the past, we knew that during Second World War, or it was before my time, this is what I was told, even the Germans listened to the BBC because they trusted that the BBC would tell the reality of what was going on. But now you can't trust the media. It's hard to trust anything you read, see, particularly on the internet. AI, artificial intelligence, is an incredible tool. I use it all the time to search on Google and so forth. But we have to take what they say with a pinch of salt, as it's often not totally correct, can't be trusted. But in addition, there are people who use AI deliberately to deceive. For example, in advertising, a model would have her legs stretched, her body and face, mouth, nose and eyes changed to become a person who's just not real. Deep fakes can mimic a person's voice and facial movements. It's incredible what they can do. For example, an old photo from Victorian times can be animated and that person appear to come to life with facial movements and smile, which is probably similar to how they actually appeared in life, but you just don't know. It was Soken's own social media platform, Truth Social. Well, I've never looked at it, but do you believe that what's on there is true? I mean, he chops and changes what he says from day to day and contradicts himself. He says there's about to be peace in Iran and the oil prices drop, but the Iranians say that's not correct. They're not ready for peace, so you don't know what to believe. So how can we cope in these uncertain times? So we remember and act on what Jesus said, I am the truth. He is a person that we need to be in an ongoing relationship with. We need his guidance day to day. He is reliable, he's good, he's not a dead historical figure. He is living, he's trustworthy. Let's look in more detail about what Jesus said about the truth in particular, looking in John's Gospel. But when we read these verses, and when you read them on your own, I encourage you to meditate on what he said, to think it over prayerfully. Take seriously what he said. Be prepared to build your life on it. Stand on the promises that he made, as Steve said. Jesus, God, keeps his promises. If we step out trusting him, we're not going to be the first person that he'll abandon. Trust in him. That's what he's asking us to do. And the words truth and trust are closely related. We need to trust in him in a practical way, day by day. If we do, we'll find the difference in our life is fantastic. It's life-changing, can deliver us from worries, from depression, deliver us from fear about the future. How does real truth work? How does Jesus's truth work? Truth is like light. John chapter 1, going back there now. John chapter 1, verse 9, says, where do I find it? The true light coming into the world enlightens every person. That's talking about Jesus. And then move on to chapter 3, and we'll read this, verse 16 to 21 of John chapter 3. This is a wonderful verse, chapter verse 16, that I should recommend everybody to memorize. Maybe sums up all the important parts of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. What a wonderful truth. Let's read on, though. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Praise God for that loving, gracious attitude. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So what it's saying is that, you know, if we are trying to hide something, we hide away from God and we're staying in the darkness. So the sin or whatever it is we've covered up doesn't get exposed. But we're not going to get set free that way. We're not going to have our sins forgiven that way. We have to walk in the light. We have to live in honesty. Honesty with ourselves, with God, and with each other. And so we can know where we're going. We can avoid darkness. We can be living in light. Truth, like light, exposes our pride, but it brings freedom. Let's have a look at 1 John. Okay, so this is not John's Gospel. This is the letter of John, which is near the back of the Bible, near the end, before Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, saying a similar kind of thing. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we kid ourselves, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's how truth works. It's like light. It's like, are we going to hide in the dark, in the lies, or are we going to come out into the light and walk in it? Back in John's Gospel, I'm not going to apologize actually for skipping around and looking at lots of verses. John, as I said, has lots to say about truth. In fact, in John's Gospel particularly, he often uses this phrase, truly, truly. Truly, truly, I say to you. Sometimes it's translated differently, very truly or most certainly. But the words, the New Testament was written in Greek, wasn't it? Yeah. So that's translated into our language, truly, truly. But the word for truly, truly was actually the Hebrew word, amen. Amen, amen, is what Jesus said, meaning truly, truly, so be it, so be it. But, when Jesus says something truly, truly, I suggest we take real notice of it because it's really important. Have a look in John chapter 8 on your own, and you'll find a number of places where he said that. But let's look particularly at verse 31-32. Jesus was saying to the Jews who'd believed in him, if you abide, if you stay, if you rest in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son, Jesus, shall make you free, you will be free indeed. You know, living in the truth will set you free, can set us free from fear, from the devil's lies, from sin, from addictions, from depression, from those things that are thrown at us. If we hold to his teaching and Jesus' truth in an ongoing relationship, we will walk in this light and in his truth, and we will experience him setting us free. To know the truth and the right way to go, we need to learn to hear God's voice. That's why we need to be in this close, ongoing relationship. We need to learn to respond to the voice and the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. John chapter 4, in verse 23, it talks about true worshippers. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. But he said that true worshippers are the ones that God's seeking. True worshippers, those people who come into his presence and listen. That's what worship's all about. John chapter 14, verse 17, so that's the same chapter where he said, I am the truth. Verse 17, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper. Verse 16, that's the Spirit of truth. He's a helper. He's there to help us, to guide us into all truth. Chapter 16, verse 13, again, the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. We need to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Going back to 1 John again, chapter 2 this time. Again, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2 of John, 1 John, verse 18 and down to 29. Well, I'm not going to read it all, but if you were to read that, it explains about the Holy Spirit and the fact, verse 20, verse 18, it's the last hour, just as you've heard the Antichrist is coming. There are many Antichrists. They went out from us. They weren't really of us. If they were, they would have remained with us. They went out in order it might be shown they're not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and no lies are there. For you, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Father and the Son. And verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from him abides in you. You have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in him. Perhaps slightly difficult to understand and in some ways, but that is talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about how the Holy Spirit within us, because, you know, if you're born again, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit is within you and will show you what is right and what is wrong. That there are other voices. There are those that deny that Jesus was God, for example. There are religions that say, oh, Jesus was a great man, but he wasn't God. But that's a lie. The Holy Spirit would confirm that it is true that Jesus is God. There in that chapter, it's talking about staying in what you've heard from the beginning. You know, if you've heard the gospel, if you've heard the truth about Jesus, and that has brought you freedom and life, hold on to that. Don't be, you know, persuaded by some other doctrines that say, but you've got to go to church 5 times on a Sunday to be saved or something like that. No, the simple truths that brought you freedom and life, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to show us. So going back to a question, I'm just giving an example of following the voice of the Holy Spirit. My neighbour, a couple of doors down, is quite unwell, and I don't think maybe he's going to live an awful long time. And I felt, you know, I really want to share about Jesus with him. And, wanted the opportunity, the right opportunity. And you feel a bit nervous. God, please give me the opportunity to talk to him. He mentioned he was ill, and I said, oh, I'll pray for you. And I prayed, and I said, do you mind if I pray? And he said, I believe in him up there. So that was a good start. And then I felt, no, I'd like to take it a bit further than this and share what it means to be a Christian and about Jesus. So how am I going to do this, God? And I felt God said, Journey into Life. All right, it's a useful little book. There's some in the centre. Little booklet, one at the back, yeah? Just a couple of pages explaining quickly about the gospel. And so I picked one up and praying for an opportunity to talk to him about this. And he was in the garden a few days ago. And so I popped in the house, grabbed the things. Oh, Dave, I wanted to give you this and explain about, following up what you'd said about you believe in him up there. This is about Jesus. And I didn't have an opportunity to spell it out fully there and then, but he took the leaflet. And he also shared with me then that he'd had a near-death experience when he was much, much younger, that, he'd really felt he was sort of on his way to heaven. And when he was having an operation, but God sent him to stay with his young family and so forth, But I pray that I'll be able to follow up that conversation again. But it's a matter of listening to God, asking him to prompt you, show the right way to go. I bought this book in. I think there are lots of good Christian books, and maybe sometimes we don't publicise them enough or share them around enough. Why is it good to read a good Christian biography, a story of someone or autobiography, their life and what God's done for them? Because it can build your faith. Anyway, I'd never come across this book. I don't know how I got hold of it on my shelf. Angels in Charge. It's not particularly about angels. Written by a lady called Jackie Emmons. Anyway, I found it on my shelf. This is a lady who, back in the 1950s, she and her husband, just ordinary couple, decided they wanted to go as missionaries to Brazil. Well, Brazil in the 1950s was a pretty rough place. And there was a lot of strong feeling of Catholics against sort of the Christians like us, all right, who are sharing about Jesus and the gospel. And they met an awful lot of opposition. But one day she felt that she wanted to go and see the abbot, the leader of the Catholic Church in that area, who'd been stirring up riots against them. Their house was burnt down, actually. And she was in a conversation with this man, and she said, as they were talking, I felt the Spirit of God rising within me. He was saying that people who are... talking about the local people, actually, he said, these people are liars and killers. You can't believe what they say. And then a thought came to me like in a flash from heaven. How long have you been here, I asked, in this town? He drew himself up. 17 years, he said. My, what have you been preaching all that time? I asked in a quiet voice. Our experience is that when people hear and accept the gospel of Jesus, they change. They no longer lie and kill, but become honest citizens and loving people. Just one example, there are lots in this book of her responding to the Holy Spirit. Another day, she saw a woman in the street crying, and she wanted to find out what it was about, and her son was in prison awaiting trial. And she just felt the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit telling her to accompany this woman to go and see the son in prison, which she did rather reluctantly. But she responded to the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit and ended up with an opportunity to regularly go into prison, to hold meetings, to give them clothes and food and so forth. It all came from just responding to that voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the anointing that, as a believer, if you've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that anointing. Respond to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's my question. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 that if we ask God to give us the Holy Spirit, Yes, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So don't worry, you know, we can be filled. You can be, and it's something that we're supposed to be being filled, an ongoing experience. You know, we do need to be able to discern between what is wrong and, sorry, what is true and what is deception. The devil is attacking. John, back in John's Gospel, John chapter 8, John talked about the devil. You know, he is at work, unfortunately, around us in our lives all the time, trying to trip us up. John 8:44 says that the devil is a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar and the father of lies. You know, we have an enemy as believers, as Christians. The devil is always out to try to trick us, to try to weaken our faith. The devil is out for people that aren't Christians too and wants to keep them captive. You know, it's not a new thing, is it? It started in Genesis. We're doing Bible studies in Genesis. The devil came like a serpent, got Eve to pick the fruit she shouldn't have done. There are warnings in the Bible as well about false prophets, false religions. Just one example in Jeremiah chapter 28, I'm not going to look at it now, but you can read it if you want. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22 talks about the importance of correct prophecy. And 1 John 4, so that's John's letter, 1 John 4, verse 1, says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And somewhere there it says, don't believe every spirit. You have to test the spirit. So maybe it's a different verse in there. We have to test the spirits. How do we test them? Does what's said contradict the Bible? Does that what's being said contradict the sound words that you've been taught, those that brought you freedom and life, the basic truths of the gospel? That's where you're relying on that anointing of the Holy Spirit to guide you. Hold on to what you've heard from the beginning. So just to wind up, Jesus moves us from the idea that truth is just ideas and knowledge to show us that it's all about having a relationship, an encounter with a person who's faithful, loving, reliable, all-knowing. That is Jesus. It's good and important to get to know your Bible and read it too. When we read our Bible, you know, ask God to open it up for us to remember, which isn't in John. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speak the truth in love. You know, that's another aspect of the truth, that we are going to share the truth, but we need to do it in love. So I think that we have an opportunity now to make progress with God. Please be ready to come forward and ask for prayer, all right? You know, if this has spoken to you in any way and you feel, I want some prayer, there are people here, elders, leaders, who can pray for you, and you'll be able to get a coffee afterwards. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Are you born again? You can be. Jesus wants you to know. If you're at all unsure, come and be prayed for. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You can be. Jesus wants you to be today. Amen.
Angus is marvelous. Very important word for us to know at this time. Really powerful words from Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's the only way, he's the only truth, and he's the only life. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, which is him, and the truth shall set you free. Powerful, powerful words from the name above all names. So as we sort of conclude this part of the meeting, if you have never given your life to Christ and you want to know the truth and you want to know the life and you want to be set free, please come and speak to me or Karen or someone else. We'd love to chat with you. If you need prayer, as Angus said, please come forward and pray, because he is faithful and powerful, and he is the one who sets us free. So as we just finish, I just wanted to read a passage from 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is sort of known as the Trinitarian benediction, but it's quite good. It's said quite often in various churches just to close meetings. And I just want to close with that this morning, as I pray that the Lord will bless you over the coming week. And go and talk to people about Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. You have the words that could change their life and their whole future and eternal destiny. That's how God works it. And so it says here in 2 Corinthians, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Amen. Amen.